Let's take our Bibles, if you will, please, and we're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, a very familiar verse. Just going to use this as a kickoff verse. I want you to keep your Bibles handy. Keep your Bibles handy. If you saw the newspaper, the Sunday York News newspaper this morning, they are making a big to-do over 10 years since the intelligent design issue was brought forth by folks who fear God. The intelligent design issue was trying to be thwarted by those, I wonder. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but I just want to read a few pieces of scripture. You can go back and this is not Hebrews, but let me read a couple things here. Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of the God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is a bridegroom cometh out of his chamber, rejoicing in a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, convicting the soul, and testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." Romans chapter 1, if you go along with the heavens declaring the glory, and no place can you go to not see it. Verse 18 says in Romans 1, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." They say the truth is unrighteous. They don't like the truth, they don't like what it says, so they're going to call it wrong. They don't like the conviction, so they're going to call it irresponsible. It says, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them." In what? In the heavens. "For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead," which means so authority, "so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for under their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, receiving themselves that which is recompense of their error, which was meat." It all goes together. John 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." Listen to me. "All things were created by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." One more. Colossians 1:10 tells us this, "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who, Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. In other words, there are no accidents. And finally, in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11 says this, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure, watch, they are and were created. God didn't put something in motion and leave it go. Now, I understand, I'm not mad at people. I'm not angry at them. I'm angry at them being duped by old Satan himself. But the fact is, there are people who say, well, I can be religious and still believe in evolution. Wait, that's true. You can be religious and still believe in evolution. I don't believe you can believe the Bible and that man came from mud. That's not good here. That's not our goal. That I didn't know was going to be in the paper today, but I just want you to know he's still the creator. He's still the creator. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, says, But without faith, it is impossible to please him. So can I please him by my religious actions without faith? No. Can I please him by my righteous works toward others without faith? No. Wasn't he impressed with all the things that I do? Not if it's without faith. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, do you like to go to God? It's a wonderful thing. I'll tell you, when you hear the C word at the doctor's office, or the policeman comes knocking at your door with not so good news, when that one you've loved all your life, For as long as you can remember, you wake up the next morning and they're gone. And you want to be able to get to God. He that cometh to him must believe that he is. In fact, I think that's part of the issue that's causing part of what we got going on in society. They don't believe that he is. They got to believe that he is, and watch, and that he is a rewarder of them that, look at the word, diligently seek him. I didn't get done last week. I finished all I was going to do, but I didn't get done. I got some things I want to take one step a little deeper than I did last week. Let me read it one more time. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There's a reason why they put the word diligently in there. Because it wouldn't say it the way they wanted to say it if it didn't have the word there. Diligently seek him. Let's have a word of prayer. And today I'm going to talk about this topic, manning the door. Keeping the door. Keeping watch. Manning the door. And let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for the truths. We thank you for who you are and that you are the creator of all. And Lord, help us to be the ones that believe that you are and stand for that. But our standing for that isn't what makes you who you are. It's not proved to other people who you are. But the fact is, Lord, when we back down, it gives them fuel for their fodder for their fuel. And Lord, it makes us it makes you look foolish. And Lord, what my soul. Let us stand strong on the rock, standing for truth on the promises. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to us here this morning. I have lots to cover. prayers, our hearts will be open, truly open to your word here this morning. Lord, again, this could transform lives. I know people that should be here to hear this morning. It wasn't written for them specifically, but I know they're struggling, and they're wondering why things are falling apart. And Lord, it could be simply they've removed the word diligently away from their word, from the word of God. They just overlooked it. They've been walking past. They've been doing some, but not diligently. Lord, we need to seek you. We must believe that you are and that you're a rewarder of them that diligently seek you. Lord, help us. We need your Holy Spirit. And I'll give you all the praise, and you speak to hearts. In Christ's name, amen. I know you may think I'm beating this dog to death, but I am determined not to give any of us any wiggle room from this principle. We've spent 7 messages on jumping Jehoshaphat. We saw how God will bless those whose hearts are perfect toward him. Not that the person is perfect, but their sights are set, zeroed in on God, knowing him and doing as he pleases. We saw the work in David's life and how it worked for Jehoshaphat and how he did the first things of David. And God promises to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. Our verse here says that we without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is what? A rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Those who have their heart perfect toward him. They are truly, without a doubt, though we mess up, though we're imperfect, though we're not anything near what God is, our heart is saying, I want him. I need him. I'm going to hear his word. I'm going to listen to his word, and I'm going to obey his word. God promises to show himself strong on behalf of those. And I believe that we can understand the concept and the promise and understand the prerequisite for the promise and come to pass, but I think that many folks still miss out because of that word, diligence. Good enough is not good enough. Now, it's not that you're working for it. It's not that you're trying to muster up. It's the fact of surrendering and giving yourself over. I'm not going to let any of me not be put into the hands of God who he is, of God himself, be in his hands. That word, what does it mean to have a heart that's perfect? It means it's not just a tendency toward, it's not just leaning that way, it's seeking him with all your heart. And he says, if you seek him with your whole heart, you shall find him. And we're not just haphazardly taking shots walking with God. We're zoning in, we're zeroing in on him. And if we miss the necessity of diligence in the process, the whole process is pretty well null and void. Let me say it again. If we miss the necessity of diligence in the process of seeking him, we pretty well have made the process null and void. We need to guard our hearts, last week we found out, with all diligence. Because of it, out of it are the issues of life. It's where life comes from. We are to guard our hearts. That means to lock it in place. That means we're going to lock things in, we're going to lock some things out. He says we're supposed to do it diligently. He says, keep, guard thy heart, for out of it are the issues. But it says, keep your heart with all diligence. Diligence means with vehemence. It means with speedily. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to procrastinate. I'm going to do it now. I'm going to do it wholly. I'm going to do it completely. I'm going to do it exceedingly. Listen, God's not going to get mad at me if I seek him too much. You're bothering me, boy. Go, you know. No. Well, there used to be an old cartoon that did that. Who was that? That was. You're bothering me, boy. Get out of here. You're bothering me, boy. God doesn't do that. In fact, he loves it. In fact, it pleases him. When we diligently seek him. Deuteronomy 4:9 says, don't take heed to thyself. Watch yourself. Watch yourself and keep thy soul diligently. Thy mind, your will, your emotion, that's who your soul is. Guard that thing diligently. What goes in your mind? What goes into your heart? What gets your emotions stirred? What do we do? That we need to diligently keep some things out of our hearts. On the other hand, in order to have a heart that's perfect towards God, we must also diligently seek to fill our hearts with him, with the word of God, and keep it in there. Number one, I won't make you turn to this because just for a second here, but number one, diligently seek God and His ways. Diligently seek God and His ways. If we want to see God in our lives, we need to have a pure heart. A heart that's perfect toward Him. I mentioned this last week just briefly, and I'm just going to briefly mention it here. Matthew 5, 8, Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Moses was able to see Him who is invisible. Do you seek Him enough to see Him? Now, I don't think you're going to see some apparition in front of you. I'm not talking about that. But you're going to see God moving. You're going to see God. If you've seen Him, you've seen Him. You're going to see His hand on your life. You're going to see Him doing a work in your life. You're going to see Him doing a work on your heart. Things that used to get you all thrilled, it's going to seem funny now. Things that used to think, that's a little stupid. You know, people actually go to church on Sunday morning. Oh, my soul, what in the world are they doing? What crazy people. And there's people in this room who a few years ago never thought they'd be in church on Sunday mornings on a regular basis. They think there would be two heel marks all the way from the house to the church, kicking and screaming. In order to see God's blessing in our lives and see Him working on our behalf, we need to diligently seek Him. And our verse here this morning says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God," if you come to God, wait a minute, he says, "for he that cometh to God must believe that He is." You know what that sounds like to me? That if I don't believe He is, I can't come to God. How can I come to that which I don't believe in? He said, look what it says. "For he that cometh to God must." There's a prerequisite for me to come to God. I must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. Now, listen, if I could just throw in a prayer in the air hoping He's going to catch it as it goes by is not a prayer. I haven't come to God. I've just thrown something up there hoping He's going to maybe kind of sort of, He's up there, He'll do something. "He that come to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him." He does something when you come to Him believing that He is. Diligently seek. That word there, that diligently seek, that little phrase right there, means to search out, to investigate. Here's a good word. Crave. Demand. I've got to have God in my life. Well, what do you think He might do? I don't know what He's going to do, but I've got to have God in my life. I've got to have Him leading my life. Well, where do you think He's going to lead you to? I don't know, but I've got to have Him doing the leading. Because we believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder, not a punisher, not indifferent. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Do you demand in your heart to know God? If you can take it or leave it, you've already left it. I'm not talking about talking yourself into believing. I'm talking about saying, "Lord, You're here, I need You." Whatever it is. I don't know. You're up here. I've got to have You. I've got to have You. This is what I'm looking for. There's a God-sized hole in everybody's heart that only God can fill. And if that's still open there, God's not in there yet filling it. He is what you're looking for. Do you crave a relationship with God? There's a good chance you craved a relationship with the one you're married to at one time. Craved that relationship. You see each other. You went home. You called. I got home again, and I guess I better go. Yeah, you probably should. You don't have a whole, you might not even have a whole lot to say, just didn't want to hang up on them. You didn't want to put it to bed for the night. Just wanted to be there. I grew up before the days of texting and cell phones and all that stuff, so I had to wait to get home to call. Do you search Him out? Do you investigate His word? Do you listen out of obligation or not at all? Or do you listen out of love, seeking what He has for you? Do you crave Him? Are you determined to seek and find God, or are you waiting for Him to seek you out? What are the things that you are determined to have in your life? There are some things. It's amazing what we diligently seek to have in our lives. Some seek a husband and a wife more than they seek God. Some seek wealth and possessions more than they seek God. Some seek entertainment more than they seek God. Some seek family more than God. But Jesus said in Matthew 10, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." In fact, you can't love your mother and father or love your son and daughter the way they should be loved until you get the love of God working through that. And how does that work? He that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. I'm not the father I need to be until I learn to start loving. And I'm not going to learn to start loving until I get close to Him and learn how to love for the one who loves, who is love. What are you diligently seeking? Let me give you number two. This is the long one right here. This is the long one for the day, so hang tight. Get your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 15. We're going to be in Exodus and Deuteronomy. I want you to read this with me. I know this is kind of extensive. You say, well, do we have to do this? Let me tell you a story. There was a time when Israel was the greatest nation in all the world. They turned their back on God, decided to do their own thing. God sent several prophets and said, if you don't get straightened out, I'm going to send you to time out for 70 years in Babylon. Well, they had a few good days there, but mostly they turned their back. And God finally said, okay, it's 70 years in Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar came and he took them. And they spent their 70 years in Babylon. But he said, wait a minute, just so you know, there's going to be a guy, he's going to be born about 150 years from now or more. His name's going to be Cyrus, and he's going to send you back to build the temple and get things going so you all can go back to Jerusalem. And sure enough, Cyrus came, and he said, let's go build the temple. Ezra went back, and they finally got the temple up, but the fact is the walls were down, the streets were still burned, and Nehemiah came along, and they went back. And in the book of Nehemiah, it says that the people got together and they got the word of God out and they built a pulpit of wood, a platform. And it says he read the scriptures and they read for noon until light, until lunchtime. I mean from morning till the noon. And they stood there and listened. And he preached and he read the word of God. I take it back. He read the word of God and they gave the sense of it. You know what they wanted? They wanted to know God. They were diligently seeking. Now, I said this because it went through my mind. When I said we're going to have a long, extensive piece of scripture to read, this was some of what they read that day. Probably somewhere in our hearts it was like, oh man, okay, this is going to be dry. Come on, take your halos off. You know what that means? We're not quite yet diligently seeking Him. Instead of saying, here's a love letter from God He's going to read and He's going to help us understand another part of it, isn't this going to be a wonderful thing? Because you see, more I know, the more faith I have. The more faith I have, the more I'm willing to diligently seek Him. The more I diligently seek Him, the more I see His rewards. The more He shows Himself strong on my behalf. If we're guarding our hearts with all diligence, we are going to vehemently, here it is, and diligently hear. Number two, diligently hear. We're going to hear what God wants us to hear. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 23, it says, when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast in the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them or showed them for what they were. And this is what he said. If thou wilt, what's the word? Diligently hearken. Now that word, diligently hearken, is really, this is the way they kind of do it in the Hebrew language. They said, will you hear here? Hear here. I mean, like, really hear. They put the same word down twice. I didn't just mean hear, I mean hear. I mean, not just say it's going by, but hear. He says, thou wilt diligently hear to the, and hearken, diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, to have a heart perfect toward him, and will give ear to his commandments. Is that what we say? Well, I just kind of missed that one. No, we just kind of overlooked that one when we were reading. I didn't happen to hear that. No. Diligently. Said, I don't want to miss one. Because if I miss one, I might miss a little bit of the promise. I miss a little bit of promise, I've missed out. Diligently. Will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. And they came to Elam, where there were 12 water, wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. What does that have to do with anything? They trusted him at the bitter wells, and then he gave them an oasis. My guess, it wouldn't have had the oasis if it had trusted him at the bitter wells. Now, so this is a promise to the Israelites. Okay, but what was he doing with the Israelites? Showing the world who he is through the Israelites. Okay? So that's who he is. That's who he is. That's a promise. That's who he is. And I also found that Peter found out that he is no respecter of persons, that man of any nation who does righteously shall be accepted with God. So the fact is, we can take this promise. This is who he is. This is the principle. I'm going to say never going to have trouble. But the fact is, this is who he is. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 11. Just a few pages. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 11, verse 8. And we're going to be here a few minutes. I want you to read it with me. Deuteronomy. Whenever I hear that word, I think about my son, my oldest son. He was little, and he was quite a talker. And we were trying to teach him the books of the Bible. And he says, okay. And says, the Deuteronomy. He says, I can't say Deuteronomy. Anyway. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 8 said, therefore, and let me give a little title here. God provides when we diligently hear. God provides when we diligently hear. Verse 8, therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that ye may be strong, and go in and possess the land, whither ye go to possess it. And that ye may prolong your days in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, to give unto them and to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey. What's he saying? God shows himself strong in behalf of those whose heart's perfect toward him. That's what he's saying. This is almost the whole Bible. Verse 10, for the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt, from whence ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed, and waters it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it. Oh, that reminds me again of 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord look to and fro over all the earth to see whom he can show himself strong in their behalf, whose heart's perfect toward him. Verse 13, and it shall come to pass, watch, it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart, with all your soul, in other words, to hear and hear, that I will give you rain of your land in his season, his due season. the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn, and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourself, watch out yourself, that your heart be not deceived. Don't let anything lie. Don't lie to yourself. Don't fool yourself. Don't get off track. Take heed to yourself, that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. In other words, don't let up. Don't get sidetracked. Be diligent. You hear me? Be diligent. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you. Why? Because you got turned aside. Just stop being diligent. The Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Therefore shall ye lay up these words in your heart. I mean, so put them in here. Get them in your soul. Bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes, and ye shall teach them your children. Let's skip down. Verse 22. God will provide. God will protect if we diligently hear. Look at verse 22. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you, to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than you. He said, well, they're bigger than we are. Makes no difference. God's bigger than all they are. Doesn't make any difference. What's the difference? He's a rewarder of them who diligently. They believe that he is, and that they diligently seek him. Well, I think he's so-and-so. Well, I don't know. We'll just give it a shot and see what happens. Well, I tried that God thing. It didn't work. Verse 22, for if ye shall diligently keep all the commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, and walk in the ways, and cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you. Shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Let me give you another one. God will promote if we will diligently hear. Do you remember these from Jehoshaphat? Provide, protect, and promote. Look at this. Well, I'm not getting anywhere. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. Why are you so obstinate about this thing, Pastor? Because it's called diligence. I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing this for you. Listen, there are so many times in my life where I was no sense, but God has provided for me, taken care of me, put me where he wanted me to be, and all I could really say about it was, I wanted him. That's what I wanted. I wanted him. And even in my stupidity, I get off and confess my sin. He's faithful and just forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he promises are all back in play. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken, what's the word? Didn't say if you'll listen. He said, hearken diligently. Hear to hear to hear. Hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord God, the self-existing one, the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. That's where America used to be. And we've stopped seeking her diligently. We stand up and say, at 9/11, God bless America. You know what we're doing when they did that? What's that old nursery rhyme? Little Jack Horner sat in the corner eating a... No. Plum pie. Whatever it is, stuck his thumb in it, you know, said, what a good boy am I? He put his finger in the pie. But he wants to be called a good boy. That's what we're doing. We throw God out and do our own little thing. We've messed up our whole lives, and then when there's a trouble, he says, tell me how good we are. God bless us. God bless us, everyone. Aren't I sweet? He said, I'll set you on high. Verse 2, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. I love that. These blessings are going to sneak up on you. They're going to catch up with you. They're going to overtake you. The blessings are going to overtake you if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. So in other words, listen. Now watch. Listen to how God likes to bless when we diligently hear. Ready? Look at this. Verse 3. Blessed shalt thou be in the city. Blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shalt thou be in the fruit of thy body. In other words, your kids. And the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thine kind, the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shalt thou be in the basket of thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in. Blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies to rise up against thee, to be smitten before thy face. Oh, they're going to rise up, but he's doing it to show them how I'm going to bless you instead of them. They shall come out against thee one way, flee before thee in seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouse, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee in a holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure. The heaven is to give the rain unto the land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Man. You won't have, was it, $15 trillion in debt? And the Lord shall make thee the head. I love this. The Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. I love it. And thou shalt be above and thou shalt not be beneath. So in other words, you're going to come out on top. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe to do them. Look at verse 14. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day to the right hand or to the left hand to go after God's to serve them. What's that mean, diligently? Nope, we can't go over there. No, we're not going to do that. Well, it's only, no, we're not going there. Well, I don't think it's that bad, just we're not doing that. I was speaking to someone recently, and they're going through some trouble. Now, and I'm not being, I'm just, and they're good people. He said, Pastor, we're not bad people. We're not bad people. We don't deserve this. And I'm sorry. You know what I do deserve? The wages of sin is death. That's what I've earned. The gift of God is eternal life. When David came and his sin with Bathsheba was known, he went to the Lord and he cried and prayed and fasted. But when the baby died, then he got up and washed his face and said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, I don't understand. So I don't know, maybe God might have been merciful and allowed the baby to live. But it didn't happen. But he knew that God was right in whatever he did. He accepted what God did. What if we fail to be diligent about this? Look at verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. I'm just saying, this is the word of God. You let the Holy Spirit apply this where it needs to be applied. I know things happen. But sometimes problems come so God can show how strong he is through you and defeat that enemy. I'm just saying here. That word cursed, verse 16, means to execrate, means to disesteem, to look down on, to put at the bottom of the list for blessings. God's no longer making it a point to bless you when his curses come. We live in a sin-cursed world, and we have not fulfilled the prerequisite to have God looking out for our best interest by having a heart that's perfect toward him, and he is not showing himself strong on our behalf. Thus, we are in danger of whatever this sin-cursed world wants to throw at us. For all the diseases of the world. I'm not saying because you get sick, it's because you were sin. I'm not saying that. I'm not. We're all going to die sometime. Our body's going to wear out. You know, that's going to happen. The wages of sin is still death. But the fact is, life could be a whole lot different if we will diligently seek Him, not have the curse. If we fail to hearken to the voice, to observe to do His commandments, it says in verse 16, it says, cursed shalt thou be in the city. Cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Does this sound familiar? Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land and the increase of thy kind, the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. In other words, we are in trouble no matter what we do, because we are vulnerable to all the curses of the world that came when sin came into the world. We're no different than anybody else unless God is on our side. And we got to come to Him. We're going to come to Him. We got to believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. If we don't believe that He is who He says He is and we're not diligently seek Him, then we're not going to see the rewards. It's just that clear. Wonder why we got this problem. We're living in snares and the briars and all this stuff. It's because we kind of take it or leave it. Verse 20, and the Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, rebuke, and all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do. Seems like I can't do anything. Nothing works. Until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he have consumed thee from off the land where thou goest to possess it. Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, with a fever, with an inflammation, with an extreme burning, with the sword and with the blasting, with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. In other words, the rain's not going to come. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder, and dust from heaven shall come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. And the Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And shall be removed unto all the kingdoms of the earth. And thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth. And no man shall fray them away. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, with the emerods, and with the scab, and with the itch whereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. And thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in the darkness. And thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. But said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand the way of sinners, nor sitteth through the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water, bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But he says, no, you won't prosper in thy ways. And thou shalt be oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Listen, this is not just a run of bad luck. We have not determined to diligently have God in our lives, which means obeying Him with our heart. So we basically say we're going to let it come what may. Verse 30, thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build a house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and thou shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes. Thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies. Thou shalt have none to rescue them. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people. In other words, the world's going to steal them away from you. And thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long. Oh, I wish they'd come back. Oh, I wish they'd come back. Oh, they're lost to the world. They're lost to the world. I wish they'd come back. And there shall be no might in thine hand. You can't do anything about it. You will lose. In other words, you're going to lose your kids. Not going to be a thing you're going to be able to do about it. The fruit of thy land and all thy labor shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed alway, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. In other words, going to drive you crazy. You know what? And I've had people say, it's driving them crazy. Say, why is God doing this to me? We did it to ourselves because we refused to seek Him diligently. I'm sorry, folks, this is not a fun message to preach. It's no fun to listen to. tell you where the fun comes from, when we start doing it. And he starts rewarding them who diligently seek him. And by the way, you can start today. Well, you don't know how much I missed. I'm not saying it won't be some residual effects. But you never know what he might release. And in time, may get out of your life. You don't know. We just don't know. Verse 35, the Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king which thou set over thee unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. And thou shalt become an astonishment. They're going to say, oh my soul, whatever happened to them? A proverb and a byword among all nations whither the Lord shall lead thee. Thou shalt carry much seed out into the field and shalt gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shalt neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coast, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil, for thine olive shall cast its fruit. It's going to fall off the vine before it gets a chance to ripen. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them. They shall go into captivity. They will be held captive by the world. All thy trees and fruit of thy land shall the locusts consume. The stranger that's within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall... Why in the world are they... Why are they getting away with it? Why are they get this? Why is this? God says, I'm trying to teach you something here. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee. You can't outrun the blessings when God's bringing the blessings, but you can't outrun the problems when God's letting the problems come. They shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed. Why? Because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder and upon seed forever, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness, with gladness of heart, in other words, with your whole heart, for the abundance of all things. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger, and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. I don't want to be mean, but I want you to think about something and assess it. Just spending time with Christians is not necessarily spending time with God. Spending time around godly things doesn't mean that our hearts are necessarily perfect toward God. There are folks who want lots of extracurricular church activities, but they only come to church seeking God's word when it's convenient. They'll easily forfeit times that are set aside specifically for learning God's word. The folks who are seeking him will easily forfeit times, but folks who are not seeking him, they will easily forfeit the times that are set aside. They'll give up. If we come to a point where folks can find their way to church sponsored extracurricular activities, but they can't find the time for the 3 to 4 regular church service on Sunday mornings, you know what we do? We stop the extracurricular activities. Because that's not what we're here for. Now, I love those things, time, but that's not what we're here for. We're here to hear the Word of God. The church is here for us to hear Him. What a devastating result just because we don't bother to seek to hear and obey God diligently. Didn't say you were purposely trying to get away from God. You just didn't bother to hear. These are real quick. I can do these quick. 3. Diligently do. Diligently do. We're supposed to diligently hear. Diligently seek. Diligently hear. Diligently do. 2 Peter 1:5 says this. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue and to virtue, knowledge and knowledge, temperance and temperance, patience. Patience, godliness and to godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, that's how it happens when you do it diligently, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful to the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things, it kind of slacks off. and is blind and cannot see afar off, hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. He said, beside this, he said, going along with it, we need with all giving, all diligence, all speed, earnestness, make it our business to add to our faith virtue, to add to our salvation the manly desire to do whatever it takes to get the victory, which means adding to our faith virtue. That's the manly desire. The virtue, knowledge. That's what we're doing here this morning. That's what we do in Sunday school. That's what we do on Sunday night. That's what we do on Wednesday night. That's what you do in your personal devotion. That's what we do when we hear the Word of God, when we listen to a CD on the radio, to diligently add to our faith virtue, the knowledge, to knowledge, temperance, the self-control to do it and do it and do it and do it, and to temperance, patience. Wait for it. God will grow something good if we stay at it. And patience, godliness, godlikeness. You start thinking like God thinks. You start thinking like God thinks, you're going to start getting the blessings that God wants you to have. To godliness, brotherly kindness, you start acting like God acts. And to brotherly kindness, charity, which is love. Unconditional, wanting nothing back, love. You know what that is? Love is God. God is love. We don't become God, but we become just like Him. Diligently do. Even, you go back and read it sometime, Ezra, the king, Artaxerxes knew this. He said, whatsoever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it be diligently done for the house of God of heaven. For why should there be wrath against the realm of the king and his sons? Why should I have God on my back? I'm going to diligently do it. That's a heathen king! Number four, diligently teach. Diligently teach. Diligently seek, diligently hear, diligently do, and diligently teach. Deuteronomy 6:4 says this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Is that all you can talk about, Mom? Every time you say something, see, we got some kind of Bible verse. Every time we do it, oh, comes another Bible verse. Now, when I was growing up, my mom and dad owned a fuel distribution company. And my mother's brother, Uncle Charlie, I loved Uncle Charlie. He was so much fun. Uncle Charlie drove a truck for my dad. And back then, you know, the rules weren't, but if I was off in the summer, I'd go on his routes with him. I'm in a fuel oil truck and I'm 8 years old, you know, I'm going on a route, you know, he wouldn't let you do that. But I would sit in the truck and he'd have the radio on, he'd have some old country station on or something. But a lot of times we would just sit and talk. And when we were talking, of course, I would talk back then too. And a lot of talk. But I would talk and I'd say something and it would remind him of an old song. Off he'd go, he'd sing some song. It had that phrase in it. I'd say something, and he'd sing that song. And I'd do it again. He'd sing another song. Everything, he had a song. You know what? That's the way it should be with the Word of God. Amen. Your kids say something, it's just like a kind of, well, you know what the Bible says. It should just be part of who we are. Well, I can't, man. Does your parents always talk Bible stuff all the time? Yeah, that's just what they do. Amen. He says, teach diligently. You know that word? That's one word there. It means pointedly. To teach diligently means to pierce. To give it straight. To give it deep. To instill. To indoctrinate. Not just a suggestion so that they can choose between the two. But you give it to them straight. We are to pass it on. We want our family time, but does our family time include a constant and continuous interaction with God and the passing on of His Word, His truths, His principles of life? I'm not trying to be mean. I'm going to say it again, though. Some folks want social times and activities at church, but we're wishy-washy on the Word of God. We hardly know enough to do the Word of God ourselves, much less pass it on to the next generation. We ought to be teaching by now, Paul said, yet we're still in need of milk of the Word of ourselves. I had someone come in and said, I'm not mad at him, I love him, but he said, we're going to look for another church. And he gave a reason why. And I said, well, what about this scripture? Well, I don't know a whole bunch about the Bible, but I just know we got to go. Well, there you go. Not mad at them. I'm not mad at them. I wish they'd come back. Love them. They're friends. But you make a decision based on the Bible, but they make a decision based on general population's opinions. What do you do? I'm all done. If God had our heart, I think he'd have our sacrifice. If he has our heart, he'll have our service. If he has our heart, he'll be our song. What if we had a church filled with people whose hearts were overflowing with a relationship with Jesus? We say we hear God, but are we diligently seeking to hear God? God promises blessing, God promises cursing. The difference is whether we diligently hear and diligently do and diligently teach, or if we fail to give all diligence. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. In other words, this is what determines our life. Don't blame God. God's given us fair warning. It is entirely our choice. We need to man the door with all diligence. With all diligence, keep the world out. With all diligence, bring the Lord in. Diligently hear, diligently do, diligently teach. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts here this morning. Tough, tough message. But Lord, if we don't do a little surgery once in a while, the infection's going to kill us. Speak to our hearts. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Would you stand to your feet? The Lord's spoken to your heart. Maybe there's something you need to do and do it right.